Trustees together here at September 26th at 7 o'clock. If we could stand for the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. We have some minutes to approve. We have the July 5th workshop, the July 11th regular meeting, August 1st workshop, August 9th regular meeting, August 28th land use plan workshop, September 5th workshop. I have a motion to approve.
I will make a motion to approve them, but I'd like to break it into two groups. So I guess I don't have to amend it, I haven't made it.
How do you want
to make a motion to approve July 5th, July 11th, August 9th, and August 28th.
I'm sorry, say that again.
July 5th, mm-hmm. July 11th, mm-hmm. August 9th, mm-hmm. and August 28th.
Okay. You're making a motion?
Yes.
I second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there discussion?
Yes, I have some.
All right.
Okay, so in the July 5th, July 11th, and August 9th meeting minutes, Trustees Black and Van Haren felt there was too much detail in the minutes and deleted several statements. Some of those statements were part of my trustee report and were items that I believe would be of interest to the community. So I don't know how you appoint yourselves judge and jury as to what may be of interest to the residents. I don't remove items from your reports and do not feel that you should be removing them from my reports. So that was the first three. The August 28th, I was extremely disappointed that the bulk of the land use planning was summarized by one sentence, which reads, there was much discussion on what to code each parcel or groups of parcels. This is just not enough for me. There's not one argument summarized as to why the zoning was decided to be applied as it was.
Okay.
That's my comments.
You have any comments?
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, can we have the roll call, Debbie?
Okay, so, Ms. Reese?
No.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Ms. Van Haren?
Yes.
Motion passes. Okay, so then we need a motion for August 1st workshop and September 5th workshop.
So moved.
I second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there discussion? Okay. Debbie?
Ms. Reese?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Ms. Van Haren?
Yes.
Motion passes. All right, thank you. All right, moving on to staff reports. We do not have the sheriff's deputy here, so Andy, we will move to you for the fire department.
Since the last reporting period, which was on 9-9, we've had 28 calls for service. Of those calls for service, four of them were to Bethel Clark, requesting mutual aid, and two were to New Carlisle, requesting mutual aid. Of note on the type of incidents, we had one that was a brush fire. That was one of our mutual aid calls. 16 EMS calls, 5 motor vehicle accidents, 3 we were canceled on, and 1 that was a open burning type of incident that was not against the rules. And that was the calls from the last period.
Okay, so next, Mark Arnold. We'll have a report from planning and zoning.
All right. Since the last trustees meeting, there has not been any zoning certificates issued. The BZA, they have KC-06-23 coming up. Request from PAP Oil Company, LLC, located at 4365 Lisa Drive for a conditional use for another parking lot. Then we got V10-23, request from 7895 State Route 201 for a variance for a side yard setback for his accessory structure. No zoning commission meeting this month, 37 certificates issued to date, 2 declarations received, 10 variance requests with 9 approved, 1 to be determined, 6 conditional use requests approved, or requested, 5 approved, 1 to be determined, 4 zoning amendment requests with 4 approvals. Miami County Planning Commission will meet August 15th at 7 p.m. BZA will meet at 6:30, and no meeting for the zoning commission this month. That's all I have.
All right, thank you, Mike. Andy, administrator's report.
There are no resolutions on your agenda this evening, and just a general reminder, and I'll mention it again in the announcements, that the open house is on October 15th, Fire Department open house from 2 to 4, right here at the firehouse.
That's it?
That's all I have, sir.
All right, trustee report. Beth?
So I just finished up the township newsletter. It is at the printer. It should be in your mailbox hopefully Friday, Saturday. I did get your candidates night in there this morning. So, hopefully the time is right. It says 7. Okay. And I'm going to MDRPC Thursday morning for me. That's all I got.
Okay, Julie.
Okay, excuse me. On September 14th, I attended the Miami County Township Association meeting. This is just of a little interest. They gave 53 fair kids who showed their livestock $25 each. I just wanted to say thanks to our township and also to our trustees who donated to this cause. And then something related to us a little bit more is they have asked the Ohio Township Association to fight to change the annexation laws so that townships get a seat at the table. At this last meeting, they said they have not heard back from them, so we'll pick up the fight at the beginning of the year. The MCCA only meets quarterly. And the guest speaker was Lara Bruns of the Miami County Board of Elections. She mentioned that not a single petitioner for an elected office failed the petition process this time around in Miami County. Just an interesting fact. On 9/17, I went to the Fisher School remodeling into a house, open house. And, I mean, aside from the fact that it looks fantastic, I just wanted to mention that Dave stated that he would like to continue to hold some events there in order to keep it open to the public. So that was an interesting idea. On September 18th, I went to the school board meeting. There was no township or annexation items discussed. On the 20th of September, we held the Land and Lifestyle Preservation Committee meeting. We have letters, so we now have form letters written to send to our representatives asking to change the annexation laws to give the power back to the people rather than to the municipalities. If you'd like a copy to send to them, please let me know. We also discussed having an indoor community event this winter, such as a card tournament, indoor cornhole or bunco, possibly tied to a chili cook-off. If anybody would like to volunteer to help organize an event for the community, just let me know. And that's my report.
All right, thank you. My report will be kind of short and sweet. Had a resident call me about a tree between him and his neighbor. It's on the private property. It's way back off of the road. I told him I'd take a look at it, but, I mean, we can't, that's not something that we do, but I'll look at it, see if I can help him with it. Andy and I met with a guy from the Dayton Metro Parks or Five Rivers. The tree is on Singer. We're moving ahead with that. Went to the football field dedication. I thought that was very nice. And I did go up to the Board of Elections to look at the ballots. They had that where you could come up and look at how your name was going to be on the ballot and all, so I did go up and check that out. That'll be my report. So, now public comments on items on the agenda.
Nope.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Michelle. All right. There are no action items. Public comments on any topic.
Goes right away? It's further down, sorry. Natalie Donahue, 7835 Agnabog Road. I just want to make sure I heard something correctly. Did you say some wording was taken off the minutes?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that's what I thought I heard. I'm a little curious about that, unless something was incorrect or worded wrong or didn't actually happen. I can't see that being something that would happen in a set of minutes. I think minutes can go from a couple of comments to short paragraphs to the entire transcript. I kind of prefer the entire transcript because I think it tells the context and how it should be, taken away, if you will, so that everybody has a chance to read all that. It's a little concerning that some was taken away, so I know that's not a normal process, and I think everybody should be careful. You know, the school board has a lawsuit because of minutes as well, so I think we can all do better by minutes. And I think the other important thing to note is that everybody who attends a meeting has a different takeaway. Beth might have a technical. Don could have a cost thing that he takes away. So, and Julie might have another aspect, like organizational or something. So I think everybody's comments, no matter how lengthy, should be included. As long as they're not wrong, they should always be included. Who cares if the minutes are 10 pages long? Who really cares? I think it's better to have more. I think it's, if you have more to read, you can follow along better from week to week or from, you know, every other week. You kind of really understand what's going on. I know New Carlisle City Council, Emily Berner, when she takes her minutes, I've asked her before, I don't have that at the top of my head right now, but she said on larger meetings she uses a software package, it's like $230. I forget the name of it, but I noticed that when she put minutes together for the meeting we had last summer, the joint meeting with the New Carlisle City Council, that her minutes were basically the entire transcript, and I thought that was great. And she said that she only does that for the larger meetings, but for $230, why not do it all? I will also say I have a data point from back in 2015 when we had some action going on with the BZA, and the person who held Mike's job at the time, Jeff Green, he would actually sit and listen to the tapes and write every single word down back in the day. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that other than the time. I do know it takes time, but if you get the software package, then you can at least fine-tune it as long as your recording is good enough. I know ours is a little hard to hear, because it's got that humming, and I don't know if it can be fine-tuned anymore. It does have a hum, so it is a little hard to hear. So even the audio recordings are difficult, and then to try to mash it up with minutes would be important. I just think that's something we shouldn't skimp on. I know there's been a lot of discussion, but I don't think you can go wrong by having more in it, and definitely should not be taken away things from it, because you could lead yourself to a lawsuit. And as long as it's correct, who cares how long it is? Really, honestly, in the digital world, it doesn't matter anymore. So I would suggest that please keep the minutes in totality, especially if somebody's already taken the time and effort to put it together. Again, unless it's wrong, there's no link that's too long. Just keep it in there. And the only other thing I was going to ask is, with Huber Heights busy doing all their new gas stations here and there and all kinds of things they've got in the works, has anybody had a conversation with them lately or just in passing or been to any of their events to ask, you know, where they stand on annexation? I mean, it's just a dead zone. It's just a dead period right now. We know it's coming back, but we just sit and wait and hold our breath, or is there anything going on that anybody can share with that?
I'm only aware of the timeline that Mark Campbell said they were three of their no votes are leaving this, they're not running for reelection. And he and his others have already secured three people who are definite yes votes, and they will be running in November. And when that comes, they will. The annexation petition will return, and they will vote it yes in a heartbeat. That's what he told me, pretty much verbatim. So.
And have we been working with our county commissioners to be ready for when that comes in, for any other new approaches, or maybe even the same old approach? Are we actively engaged with them?
So I talked to two of the three county commissioners, and they have said that they have used their political capital, if you will, to turn that down twice. And unless there is some egregious error in the petition, they don't foresee that happening again, but they would not commit one way or another. They didn't say absolutely yes or absolutely no. They just said, we don't know, we won't know until it comes, but we don't foresee it being any different. But that's just two out of the three.
So it sounds like
which two you spoke with. I talked to Wade, and that was exactly what I got from Wade.
I'm sorry, Don.
That's exactly what I got from Wade.
Oh, okay.
Well.
Okay.
Westfall.
I know Wade went on.
Sorry. So I guess it sounds like we've thrown in the white flag. We're just going to sit.
We have not thrown in the white flag.
What happens?
The ball is in their court right now.
Okay. Again, we're not. I don't know. We're not playing any offense, or we haven't changed our approach.
Do you have a suggestion as to what it would be?
You know, I don't know all the things that you all know, so, and I don't pretend to, but, you know, there could be. I'm just hoping there might be a new leaf that's turned over, and we find something else that we can go after or use to defend ourselves. That's what I'm hoping. So as things come on, we don't know, but just asking. Again, it's going to, the fall's going to go by, and we're just going to be stuck with it. And our lives will be changed forever. And that's all I've got to say. Thanks.
Thank you, Natalie. Thank you for the comments. Are there any other comments on items on the agenda? Michelle?
No, this isn't on the agenda, but this is a concern. Michelle Frogner, 7105 South Palmetto. I see a lot of heads down. Are you guys listening, or?
Absolutely. I've been writing.
I'm taking the notes.
Okay, just check it. Julie, regarding the minutes, were these things you added or things that were part of it that were taken out?
They were things, so they were in three different sets of minutes, and I mean, they can speak more to it as to why. If I say it wrong, you guys can correct me, but they felt there was too much detail in the minutes. And my biggest concern was, one of the minutes was my trustee report, where I said the things, and the way that that works is then we send what we've said to Debbie, who includes what we send, and so I sent that, and then they felt that it was too much, and took things out.
So I'm going to ask you a question. Is that the reason why we can't have detailed minutes? Is that the problem?
In my mind, they were irrelevant. They were more like minutes from the Land and Lifestyle Preservation meeting. They were not minutes from our trustee meeting.
So why weren't they included in the land use meeting minutes?
They should, or not the land use, the Land and Lifestyle Preservation
meeting.
I guess, I don't know, I guess they do minutes or whatever.
So I mentioned, so what I mentioned from those meetings, I mean, that's the trustee report. What have you been doing for the community since the last trustee report? So I felt that the things that I mentioned were of interest to the community, and that's why I mentioned them. So.
Okay, because again, when things get censored, myself as a community member, that's a concern because people need to do their jobs. I do not have the time. If I can't make it to a meeting, it's on me, but I am not going to sit through an entire taping of a meeting. Again, because of the concerns I've had before, it is hard to hear. There is a buzzing going on, and it's laborious. It, because of the, whether it's what equipment we're using or whatever, it's a heck of a lot easier to read what's going on. But like I said, it's on me. If I miss the meetings, it's on me. And I'm just saying, to censor things, again, who makes those decisions? You're supposed to represent us as a community.
Let me give you a hint or an idea of some of the things taken out. In the Land and Lifestyle Preservation meeting, they talked about a cookie exchange. They talked about a circus. They talked about, I forget what the list of them, that was two of them. They talked about a concert or something. And I thought it just should say they had some ideas, because I don't think that our township's going to look real favorable if they think our trustees is working on a cookie exchange.
So who has the final say on what shows up? You?
Again,
trustees.
If that was a discussion.
Oh, so it's always 2-1 now?
If that was a discussion that went on in the trustees meeting, that would be fine. That was a discussion that went on in the Land and Lifestyle Preservation meeting, and I did not feel that that should be in there. Now, I see nothing wrong with having minutes from the Land and Lifestyle, and if you'd like to mail those out or give those out or whatever, those things are fine, but it was not part of the trustees meeting. The Land and Lifestyle Committee is not part of the trustee.
I understand. Yeah. Julie, is there anything else that was taken out that you feel should have been included?
Well, I mean, I think censor is a good word. I don't, you know, I felt that it was of interest to the community. I know people who are interested in these community events. I didn't say that the township was going to sponsor them. Mm-hmm. I just said that some of the ideas mentioned during the yard sale, we did a little survey and then people added things to it. One was, Dawn had mentioned a chicken dinner and car show at A.B. Graham.
Mentioned that in the Land and Lifestyle Committee meeting.
But not in the trustee meeting.
Not in the trustee.
Right, but it's of interest to the community.
But this is a meeting that is the trustee meeting about what the trustees.
So not only
is.
Did I take ask that we take out her, a couple of her comments, my comment as well. I do not need it in the trustees meeting that I'm cooking for the AB transfer.
Well, I don't understand why it made your report that you went to the Board of Elections to check on your name being correct. That has nothing to do with being a trustee.
And maybe it won't be in these minutes.
I mean, it goes all three ways here.
Okay. Well, then I think we're agreeing that we need to cut some of that back and just put what's important to as a trustee.
What's with everything that's stated?
You want to come up and speak?
Sure do, please.
Okay. Michelle, are you
Thank
done?
Thank you, I'm done.
Okay.
Pulling for R78 South Palmer. Just in the event of being here, either you take out everything and you cut out your comments, or you include everything, just to be fair.
I agree. We'll take them out. Any other comments on any topic? Jeff?
Jeff Morford, Miami County, Bethel Township. Just a few comments.
Wait, we need your address.
Oh, 6570 East Walnut, Tip City, Ohio, 45371. Don't know the top four digits of the zip code. Just a couple topics. I don't know if you're aware, at the west end of Walnut, definitely some wooden stakes and pink ribbons going up around the Altman property. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that wasn't the little girl's birthday party. As was brought up, any new information from the county or township on a plan to stop the Huber Heights annexation? I heard your answer, not much. When the fire starts, everybody gets excited. But now's the time to think about a process. I suggested to this committee, and I suggested to the county commissioners a couple times, to hire a champion, hire a researcher, do something proactive. Because if it's going to just be what happened 20 years ago, what happened a year or two ago, if that is just the normal, if that's the process that's going to happen, we might as well just send them the money, you know, send them a check and be done with it, you know. And quit crying about it, quit whining about it, quit worrying about your schools, quit worrying about your roads, quit worrying about everything. If you can't be positive and you can't push forward, there's got to be something different done, otherwise nothing will get done.
So we have delayed this for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
We have purchased the Siler property in the interim, which was squarely in the sights of the developer.
Certainly.
And the Siler owners were definitely already talking to the developer. So that's a big win. We've all talked to our representatives at the state level. We've been talking to OTA. The county knows exactly where we stand and is doing what they can to help us. But as you are very aware, Ohio is very focused on the rights of a property owner. And that's what drives these annexation laws. So we're not doing nothing. We've done a lot. And in fact, the things that we've put in place over the last 20 years have given us at least a seat at the negotiations when and if this next annexation comes through. We don't know when it's going to happen. I said what I shared, what Mark Campbell had shared with me back in June or July. You just commented that the Halderman's property is now staked off. We had heard that indirectly from the Halderman's, well, directly from the Halderman's, but not quite so much as it's DEC. They just said it's under contract. So we figured it's DEC. So I'll take the 2 years. I'd like to take the 10 years of additional stalling of this, and maybe we can do it. Maybe the commissioners will block it again and have to go through court and get another writ of mandamus. Maybe they won't.
I do know it's DEC because when I talked to them,
she did say it was DEC. Okay, I wasn't sure if she
and
actually mentioned
Bill Kiefer.
Okay.
Okay, just if I may, with the property owners, they should have a right to do with their property.
I'm sorry, what?
The property owners should have a right to do.
Oh, should have a right to. I didn't
hear
that. Yeah.
Just like your property, your property, your property, you should have a right. But it comes under an umbrella, what's right for the community. It's just like when, like in Springfield, when there was eminent domain, they knocked on all those houses. I'm sure those people didn't want to lose their property.
Mm-hmm.
But because for the good of the total,
mm-hmm.
those property owners, against their will to do with what they wanted with their property, which is stay in their property.
Mm-hmm.
So the overall benefit for the community was, I'm forcing you out for the benefit of the community.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, for the benefit of the community, they shouldn't be forcing us out. Meaning, the will of this community is not to allow that housing to go in. That
mm-hmm.
compact housing, let's call it. Or,
mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a couple different things there. Or on the other side of the story, I own a piece of property down there and I want to start burning tires down there. I should be able to do what I want.
Well, except for it's regulated by the Ohio EPA.
I only burn 5 a day. You have to understand what I'm trying to say here. For the betterment of the community, I can't do that. I shouldn't be able to do that because of the regulations, because it's against the environmental EPA or whatever the story is. So for the betterment of the community, I'm stopped. And as far as I'm concerned, like the eminent domain with the hospital and stuff like that, they have to be pushed away. That might have been someone's house for 4 generations.
Mm-hmm.
And they were asked to leave for the betterment of the community.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not for the betterment of this community.
Mm-hmm.
And how they can because you have zoning, that property could have been possibly zoned a certain way and developed, but obviously the developer can put in 29% more houses so they can make that kind of money.
Well, we have zoning that if you border a municipality, it can mirror the zoning that would be allowed in that community, so that we could do that. We could do, and essentially carriage trails too, but keep it in Bethel Township. What we have run into, and I have not talked to that many developers, I have talked to Bill Kiefler, and I've talked to probably three or four others over the past 5 or 6 years, is they want to know, they want a guarantee that it will go through and that there will not be a referendum. And we can't guarantee that. And truthfully, Huber can't guarantee that either, but Huber doesn't have a history of doing it, so that's probably not even on their, I don't know what you're spinning, but that's driving me crazy. Huber doesn't have a history of that. I don't know if Huber Heights residents are thrilled about this either, but they don't seem to have a history of turning developments down. They definitely have their complaints. There was one on Bell Fountain where a lot of people rallied and made it less dense. So that is one area.
Along with that subject about what can we do, what would be the problem for financiers to come from Bethel Township, or financiers, because I've asked to hire someone to look into this kind of research. Mm-hmm. You're not getting it. But how about if it gets to the point of a referendum, can it be sponsored by this office, or can it be sponsored by them being the county commissioners, to actually promote it and organize it and get it moving, advertising, paperwork, anything like that?
Get what?
A referendum.
Oh, for what?
Against
the annexation?
The annexation.
So the people who could do the referendum against the annexation would have to be the people of Huber Heights. Because they are the ones that are voting on.
Voting, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But a referendum can be supported by anybody, belong to your state, you live in the state, and you're voting citizen kind of thing, mm-hmm. situation like that. Ohio situation, just like in New Carlisle. A lot of Miami County people were willing to step forward and go with the petition, circulate the petition. Mm-hmm. There was nothing illegal about that, and I'm saying it could be promoted through this office, it could be promoted through the county commissioner's office. Mm-hmm. That's just another avenue as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. But anyway, think about that one. Since the mayor of Huber Heights didn't let the vote happen, did the landowners or developers send out any protests?
To anybody?
I would, this has been going on for a couple years, obviously.
Yeah.
Since it first started. So my question is, when the mayor took it upon himself, I mean, it went through all the normal procedures from all offices, all municipalities, this office, county commissioners, it got down to the 11th hour, and they weren't allowed to vote.
So, here's my understanding of this, and if they had voted on it, mm-hmm. per their city charter, that is then an issue that is dead, and they have to wait an entire 12 months for it to come up again. Since they didn't vote on it, guess what? They'll be able to do it sooner than that when they get their three new members in. That's my understanding. I don't say that's, the word. So that's why I think that they didn't, I didn't have the votes, and they didn't want it to fail because they need five. So therefore there was no vote. And therefore they can come back in January. Or whatever, less than 12 months. But as far as a letter, I'm not sure I can follow that part.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out, and again, it's just our, you know, we're not privy to
Right.
any of this. We don't get to talk to developers. We don't get to talk to landowners. I'm sure they're on a...
The one landowner that we did talk to, that I talked to, I can only speak for that, he pretty much said, I cannot discuss this contract with anybody.
And I understand that too. We all understand that.
Right.
But what I'm getting at is, since they didn't protest, I would...
Landowners?
Yes.
Or the...
In other words, the landowners, developers wanted to ask for an annexation.
Uh-huh.
A timeline started.
Right.
With the county commissioners slowing things down a little bit. It might have taken 2 years. I'm making that up. I don't know exactly. Went to a certain point. I would have thought that the landowners and the developers would have said, we put a lot of time and money in this. We're looking for it to go forward. This is why we brought it forward. This is why we brought it to the, you know, asked for a request. So when it was turned down by the city, I would have thought that they would have protested it. If I was trying to get something done, and I thought, you know, I'm a businessman, and I want to get something done in the process, and it doesn't get done, why didn't it get done? It's just like when New Carlisle, you know, they had a certain period. They had X amount of days to move it along, according to their charter, and once that, they had to vote by a certain date. And the same thing over here in Huber. In my view, I'm confused, I'm ignorant, why didn't they have to vote that day?
Why didn't
Huber?
Did the council have to vote that day?
Yes. When it came down to the timeline moved.
Like you said it, the mayor pulled the vote. He didn't let them vote.
And
he didn't let them vote because otherwise then it would delay it an entire year.
Yes. And I understand that.
Okay.
But I'm trying to figure out, why aren't they held accountable to a timeline?
Oh, I have no idea.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe at your level or the county commissioner's level, they should be asking that question. Why was he able to do that? Legally, morally, ethically?
By their charter, they were held to their timeline, and by their charter, they were held to a timeline, and since they took no action on it, but when that timeline ended, then that dies on the vine, so to speak.
Yeah, you missed your window of opportunity, so it's
okay. So anyway, with that, just a question, because I think there's some collusion there to the point of the mayor talking to the developer, whatever, going, you know, I've sort of looked around the room, I don't think we've got enough votes, and I don't think they should be having that conversation as far as I'm concerned. I'm just making a question. I'm not accusing them of doing that. I'm not saying they're doing anything illegal or anything else, but it sure seems suspicious to me. But anyway, that's similar topics. Since they didn't protest, obviously, I think they knew, the developers knew, if it would have went to vote, they would have lost their vote. And they didn't want to see that happen. So behind closed doors, in my view.
And again, like you said, we are not privy.
Not privy. Okay.
Can I just add something, though? To your point about us needing to do something, the township does not have a strategy. We, you know, as people have said, they've talked to landowners individually. You propose possibly hiring somebody to fight this full-time, which I then brought to a workshop. That went nowhere. I recently proposed meeting with the landowners because it did die on the vine, as we say. And we don't know where it stands then. Are they still under contract with, you know, the developer or the attorney? I mean, whoever, right? We don't even know who they're under contract with. So we don't know any of that. So I thought maybe we should invite them in and talk to them and find out and let them know that there maybe is some other options or something to do. But we now delayed talking about that too. We pushed that to another meeting. So to your answer, your question of doing something, there's nothing on the table to do something.
Okay.
So the township did have a strategy. That's why we're doing sewer and water at the southern end of the township. At that's why we put the conservation easement on the side of the property. And the goal was to develop properties in a more dense manner along the southern end. That was the strategy. And now we have 260, maybe 290 acres that has been purchased or will be purchased, is under contract to a developer. But to say we don't have a strategy, that's a falsehood. That's not completely true. That's not true at all. And how we make that strategy become a reality is we have to finish the land use plan, and then we do need to get on board with developers and say, here's what we have, we can help you do, here's what we can offer. We do not have the deep pockets of Huber Heights, and we don't want to do as dense of development. And then on the flip side of that, we have the annexation laws in the state of Ohio, which totally screwed townships, as we all know.
And I'll agree with the annexation laws when two communities are in agreement that it's going to benefit both communities, they're working together, they're looking at a goal, everything's meshing well together. This is not one of those.
I totally agree, and actually in a lot of cases, even within Miami County, the townships aren't thrilled that it's happening. They just don't have a say. There's nothing they can do. So.
And maybe another aspect of this, as you mentioned, two things. One, the school, obviously everybody realizes the school has been under stress, let's call it, to say the least. As far as I'm concerned, Huber Heights, allowing that to happen, has turned our home school, let's call it, into an institution. And I don't use those terms lightly. You know, I think that it's grown too big, too fast, too hard, too many complications. With the water and sewage situation, 95% of these houses are going to be on your water and sewage.
Right. No, they're going to be on Miami County's water and sewage that's serviced by Clark County.
Yes.
But that still gives us a seat at the table because we decide how fast that service gets built out, and we decide the size of that service. And then we do have a block for in the FPA. Then it's hard for them to do more for that. They need to leave their service, and they're not going to run their lines through our lines. They're not allowed to do that.
And what I was giving that was good forethought. This township had a plan that says, you know, we need to put in a water and sewage system that has a certain capacity, let's call it. Mm-hmm. To help what we have mm-hmm. of our neighbors and school, you know, mm-hmm. whatever, and what our potential growth would be. Mm-hmm. In my view, once they put 1,000 houses on this, our potential growth is now limited because we are now, our capacity is consumed by their developments.
So we are already limited by the pipe size that's running. We are not limited in the amount of treatment capacity that is there. Per Clark County, I haven't talked to probably too many years about this, but they have plenty of capacity. So, the constraint is the line of pipe that they're running. And Miami County has ceased doing any engineering work on it until the annexation goes through it, which, from my perspective, is a good thing. It just takes that much longer to get going when and if, and maybe it never does go through.
Yeah. I'm just saying, capacity-wise, I think they're going to consume the capacity that we should be able to use.
Okay, but we're only... The only capacity that they're going to add is for that.
Yeah, 1,000 houses.
They will pay for it.
I'm not saying capacity, because I believe eventually, if our community wants to grow.
But our community doesn't want to grow.
Well, whatever plan is in, there are new houses around that are probably gonna tie into this thing eventually going down 40. So it's limited because they are gonna consume most of it. Just my opinion.
My recollection is that there is capacity, enough capacity for an additional 250 to 280 homes on the current line size. So if you would take the current line and they're gonna run a parallel line to it and assume that the parallel line feeds carriage trails too, if and when that happens, you've got a parallel line running that still has additional capacity for 260 to 280 homes. And again, it depends on if there's a business, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's plenty of capacity for Route 40.
I guess what I'm looking at is to use any tool imaginable. If you can say to Huber Heights or to the developers, you know, we're not really sure our water and sewage can handle what you've got planned for our system.
Mm-hmm.
We already know that it can't.
Right.
Oh. It cannot. You have to run another line.
Are they paying for that? You know?
Yeah. Yes, they are paying for that.
And that will delay this process some more.
Yeah.
There has to be another line ran beside the one that's there.
And again, every scenario, you know, be this water and sewage, can anything be done within that? I mean, just think outside the box and anything be done with that, how to halt it, how to stop it, how to restrict it, and say, you know, we'd like to help you, but we can't help you. You know, is there any, you know, I'm just looking for, I know I'm looking for the rainbow here, and it might not be realistic, but if there's at any aspect, I don't care if it's taxation, water, sewage, whatever the story is, you know, school problems, whatever the story is, there's gotta be, you know, instead of sitting back, well, that's what happened 20 years ago, that's what happened 2 years ago, and it's just going to happen. Can there be a referendum? And that could still happen, too. I mean, there's definitely people I talk to in Huber that's still a conversation. That's it. Okay, let me take your whole evening here. But I got one more. Just information. I was at Huber Heights meeting last night. They had to go down maybe 12 to 15 things, including a Wawa gas station. Five or six probably went to a 4-4 tie with the mayor voting yes to pass it. A lot of those were what I'm going to call municipal bond, you know, and to me that means they want to borrow money. You know, they're trying to get more money to put up another firehouse and put up a new city hall. I'm sitting there in a nice building, I'm sure you've all been there, it's a nice office area and everything else. My question is why they have to not live within their means, but that's a different topic. But anyway, I'm sure it's not a surprise to you because the conversation was up tonight already. At the next Huber Heights election, the council members there will not be stopping any movement. If they get three more people in there, I mean, there was some definite 4-4s last night, and the mayor went, you know, it's going that way. And if he gets a couple, one or two more in there, there's no stopping him. So, you know, I'm frustrated. I'm sure you're frustrated. I'm sure our people in the school district, people in the county, and people in the township are frustrated with what's going on there. And there's just got to be something that can be. I know they know that it's the wrong thing, other than they want the money for it. They want the tax action. I mean, anytime anything came
it's
up.
It's the wrong thing for us.
Yes.
It's the right thing for them.
Yes. But, yes. Well, and it's not the right thing for them. As far as I'm concerned, financially it might be a good move, but it's not being a good neighbor, it's not being a good human being. Well, it's how they proceed, because they are elected, and that's the perception of their people then. I guess that's what
they're trying to get over 50,000 population to get them more benefit.
Yeah. And they voted on, you know, obviously another 800 houses across from the roads are coming in, apartments, or what do you want to call it? What is it? All the way down, maybe Kittredge. And what's one? Bell Fountain. They're putting a bunch of back there again, too. So they're just, they are not even thinking about slowing down. Not even thinking about, I mean, even some of the other council members that will be gone, even questioned the percentage of gas stations compared to the population. And they even questioned, these popular gas stations are going to come in, then the mom and pop gas station is going to be knocked out of the way. What are we going to do with those vacant properties? What are we going to do with those people that supported the community for the last 20 years with their operation and their business? And they're just going to fly them out the back door and go, good luck. Anyway, thanks for your time. Take too much time. I appreciate anything you do. We're on the same team. This needs to be stopped. If it doesn't get stopped through this office, the county commissioner's office, the Clark County, whatever politically can be done, then we have to look at the possibility of a referendum. And it needs to be supported so it stops them and tells them. But just like New Carlisle, Huber Heights people probably don't even know what's going on. But there's got to be some kind of then advertising, some kind of campaign to let Huber Heights know what they're, just like, as far as I'm concerned, they probably didn't know the mayor in lack of better terms, fixed the election. Mm-hmm. By not allowing this to go forward, he fixed the election. And I'm thinking that, I'm hoping that there's a lot of Huber Heights residents that are not for all this kind of political wrangling and all this kind of, you know, leave those neighbors to the north free to do what they want to do. We're not, you know, they're not forcing Huber Heights residents to do what they, you know, what we want them to do. Why should they force Bethel Township residents to do what Huber Heights wants to do? Anyway.
Thank you.
Okay, any other public comments on any topic? Uh-oh, Natalie.
just a question. I know there was no action items tonight. I think that's really rare. So what's coming up next? Because usually I know in the fall we do a lot of end-of-year type things. Is there anything else? I don't think I picked up anything from your
end-of-year stuff. The will be coming up generally. That's in December. When we're having the end of year stuff, the only thing, I just got the sheriff's contract, which we'll review in our workshop meeting next week, and so that should be on the next agenda. So that'll be coming up. I don't have any other items at this time. I mean, that could change within the next 2 weeks, obviously.
Sure. And I apologize. Did you say that you still don't know when the next land use plan meeting will be?
Still waiting on the information, the final draft to come back from Joe. The
okay.
consultant.
Okay. And does that look like it'll be this calendar year yet?
Oh, it should be, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just starting to get a handle on when that might be. Yeah. And if I'm allowed, last time I did ask if you could consider maybe a process for when the next open position on the BZA or zoning came up. I don't know if you've had a chance yet to talk about that, but just wondering if that's something that's on the dockets for further discussion, if anybody wants.
We did bring that and discuss that at workshop, if you guys want to review that discussion.
We follow the guideline of the ORC, and it's a political appointment. We appoint who we want. We don't have to do interviews or anything. It's just simply an appointment. But we've been trying to go out and do a little bit more and talk to more people. And we've been trying to put out feelers and find people that might be interested in it and talk to them. But it's simply a political appointment. So there is no guideline or no procedure for it.
Okay. And the Higher Rights Code has the term staggered so that everybody rolls off in a different year. So that even if you have a 4-year term, you could appoint four people, but that doesn't mean that that is going to stay for forever. So,
sure.
There's already, I guess what Don's trying to say, and I'll second that, but there's already a process for it. It's in the Ohio Revised Code, and we follow that. In fact, we do already do a little bit more than that.
Okay. So, okay. You think we're doing better? I was just going to add that I think we can even do better than that, but
so I would just like to say I would like there to be a policy. I think it would be very easy, even if it's just 10 steps that says everybody's going to send a letter to the zoning administrator, and then we're going to set up interviews, and then we're going to appoint them, or we're going to notify them because nobody got notified that didn't get it. So there could be something, you know, there could be some steps, even if it's just a checklist, but we're not gonna do that this time.
Because we talked about Huber maybe, you know, loading the seats, it kinda looked that way in January, so, and it also looked like, you know, there had to have been, behind the scenes, discussions to have come in and rolled out that agenda as perfect as it was, so I just wish there could be a better way to handle that without it looking so, I just won't say.
I didn't participate in those discussions, for the record.
Anyway, I don't think there were any discussions, but thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks, Amy.
Okay, announcements.
Is there any other comments? I'm sorry.
Is there any other comment?
Bear with me, there's a few of them here. October 3rd, there'll be a trustees workshop meeting in this room at 9 a.m. October 4th will be the Historical Society Meet the Candidates Night at Bethel Local Schools at 7 p.m. That's going in the Hive entrance, correct, in the back? Okay, going in the Hive entrance. October 9th, the township offices will be closed in observance of Columbus Day. The 10th will be a regular trustees meeting in this room at, should be 7 p.m. I left that typo on there, I'm sorry. October 15th will be the fire department open house from 2 to 4. October 17th is another trustees workshop meeting in this room at 9 a.m. What do I got messed up here? The 24th should be another regular meeting. I'm totally, I just revised this right before the meeting tonight, so I think I messed something up. October 24th will be a trustees regular meeting at 7 p.m. October 26th will be Beggars Night from 6 to 8 p.m. October 26th is also the BZA and Zoning Commission meetings at 6:30 and 7:30 p.m. And then October 27th is the PTA's Booth or Treat Night, Booth or Treat, at Bethel Local Schools from 6 to 8:30 p.m.
Okay. We need a motion to record the payment of warrants. Do we have any?
Yeah, in the back of your pocket.
Yep.
I make a motion to record the payment of the warrants. Electronic warrants 821-2023 through 863-2023. And then regular warrants 54117 through 54140.
I second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
Yes, I have discussion.
Okay.
So in the payment list, there are rebates to the full-time staff of ARPA funds relating to the Anthem health insurance payments. This list also includes my name. I'm not sure if these monies should instead be returned to the township to continue to keep the employee portion of the cost low. Most employees pay $100 per month towards insurance, which is a very low amount. One pays $10, which means they will be receiving an amount greater than what they have paid in for the year. The letter that described the rebate, which was read at the last workshop, stated that the money should be a benefit to the employees. Continuing to keep the employee payment portion low, they're part of the premium, does benefit the employees. I felt that more research should be done before we make these payments. And that's it.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay, Debbie?
Mrs. Van Haren?
Yes.
Ms. Reese?
No.
No to all the warrants?
Well, unless
I'm just asking if that's what you're doing.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Since they're not broken up, no.
Mr. Black?
Yes. Okay. Motion passes. Okay, we need a motion for adjournment.
I'm a reader.
I'm a second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any comment? Let's call the roll.
Ms. Van Haren?
Yes.
Ms. Reese?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes. We're adjourned at 7:59.